Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
It's a privilege to be here in the presence of God, and I know I've said that about every service, and I'll continue because I don't ever want to lose sight of how amazing it feels just to be in the presence of God. You know, I really don't desire to be anywhere else. And when I'm having a good day, I want to be with Jesus. When I'm having a bad day, I want to be with Jesus. When I have an in-between day, I want to be where Jesus is. I know everything's all right there in that place. It's a safe haven. You know, he said he's our strong tower, that he is the rock to stand on. You know, that means you don't have to be. You know that? That means you got to be all over the place. But when you start leaning on Jesus and you realize, well, you know, everything might not be going all right, but Jesus is on my side, and so it's going to be all right in the end. God's going to work it out. I don't have to. As you open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1 and Mark 16 and verse 16, I want to tell you this for a moment. Just along those same lines, my wife and I, when we first started evangelizing, we lived out of our car for a year, and I may have said that before here at this church. And anyway, we were really trusting that God would open the doors, that God would lead us to where he wanted us to preach, and that means that God was going to provide for our means as well, you know, because you all know you got to live, right? You got to eat and have a roof over your head, you know. I really was stepping out of the boat, if you will, stepping out and just trusting that God would take care of us. And I really, I told my wife one day, you know, I know that it's important for the man, you know, to take care of the home and so on. And I agree with that. I understand that is true, no doubt. You know, we understand, that the man should be leading the home, be the head of the home. That's the Bible. It's all biblical. We understand that. But at the same time, I looked over at my wife, first got married, and I said, you know, I just want you to know, and this is not me trying to escape anything, but I'm really putting my trust in God. I've given my whole life to God. I have done my best to do that. Done it in prayer, done it in my finances. I've done it with my days and my time up until that point, right when we had gotten married. And I said, and so I'm believing that God's going to provide for us. God's going to give us our meals to eat. God's going to give us a roof over our head. God's going to provide every single thing we have, every piece of clothing you have. God's going to give it to us, and that's just the way it's going to work. So I am not responsible, but God is responsible for our means. And it wasn't a way of, you know, trying to sidestep that or anything like that, but rather me saying, you know, I'm going to put my trust in God, and God's going to be the one to provide it. And so I can look to you today and say, you know, I really am grateful for the presence of God, because while we were living out of our car, while we didn't know where we were going to sleep at night, and those were very real times, I'm not making that up, very real moments for an entire year, just trusting and believing that God was going to provide a place for us to stay, a meal for us to eat, and so on. You know, the Lord never once allowed us to sleep in our car, which I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, he always took care of us. He always took care of us. I mean, he was never unfaithful to us as we desired to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things would be added. And so I'm so grateful unto the Lord. I mean, that song really struck a chord with me, just to exalt God, because there were moments where we didn't really have much. We didn't really have anything. and I remember that, and I'd say, God, what do you want me to do now? And I'll get into the message here in a moment. But God would say, well, I just want you to thank me. And sometimes it is difficult to thank God when you're wanting to ask God. I don't know if this is for somebody here today, but that is the right moment to start thanking God. That's the right moment to say, you know what? I thank you for what you have done this far. I thank you for where you have brought me. I thank you for your blood that was shed on the cross. I thank you for where you're taking me. I don't see all of the answers, but I thank you. And it's that thankfulness that just kind of unlocks the rest of what God wants to do in your life. I feel like it's that thankfulness. You notice that Moses is there, and I'm just giving you all time to look for the scripture, okay? Matthew 10, Mark 16. Moses is there in front of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is behind the children of Israel, and the Bible says that they're there in the middle of that, the Red Sea. They can't go forward, and now Pharaoh's changed his mind and said, go get the children of Israel back to be our slaves again after he had commanded to set them free after all the plagues. And now they're trapped. They've got nowhere to go. They can't go forward. They can't go backward. Even if they wanted to go backward into the comforts of Egypt, they couldn't, because they would be destroyed probably. And the Bible says that Moses looked up. Meaning Moses didn't look within his own means. What can I do? Okay, can we turn around and fight our way through? Can we figure this out on our own? The Bible, you can read it, literally says Moses looked up. And when Moses looked up, that's when God spoke. And God said, all right, stretch forth the rod. And in that moment, God began to part the Red Sea. So if you're ever feeling like, I need something from God, start thanking God, and God will bring the rest to you. Y'all believe that? Amen. I want to take a moment and honor your pastor and his wife. And it's my last night, all right? So I'm just kind of taking a moment. But honor your pastor and his wife and family. Thank you so much for the privilege to be here and their love for you and love for revival and all the amazing things that are happening at this church and in this city. And, you know, being the superintendent here of this district, as well as a lot of other work that goes, you know, along with this district. And so I appreciate your pastor just for doing all the great things that he does. I know you all love him and his wife. Amen. Their families. It is a family affair. You know, just so you all know, I come from a pastor's home. And so it takes a whole lot of work. And so I honor them. I also want to honor my wife and my two boys that I love very, very much. And I'm so grateful that they are with me. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause for them. And I'm so glad. I'm trying to do our best as every parent and any good parent to try to raise our kids in the things of God, same way that my parents raised me. And that was to come to every service, even if you got three on a Sunday. And so, or five services in a row on one occasion. Anyway, so I'm grateful for them and just, you know, pray. We're about to have a red-eye flight. We haven't done that in a good while, but we kind of have to in this occasion, so we are doing that. So you all pray for us, all right? Is that okay? Amen. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, and the Bible said, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Everyone say power. Against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And Mark 16, verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Any believers in the house? It says, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In verse 20, if you want to skip down with me, the Bible tells us, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, so they were not alone, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Would you put your Bibles to one side? Let's lift up our hands and let's open up our hearts to what God wants to do here tonight. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be in your presence one more time. I give you all the honor and all the glory. I thank you for those nine that you filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for all of those that you have touched, those that you've healed, those that you have delivered, those hearts that you have changed like only you can, God. I give you all the honor and all the glory. We magnify your name in the name of Jesus. Why don't you clap your hands and shout unto God?
Open up my mind, release my tongue, and speak your word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Turn to your neighbors, shake their hand, tell them you're glad to see them here. And after that, you may be seated. And I know Brother Brandon and his wife just stepped out, but I want to, I don't know if they hear me or not, but I just want to honor them for a moment and just say I appreciate their friendship and great people of God, and I know you all love them as well. Amen? Amen. Amen. For the leadership here. There is really is a lot that goes on, and, you know, it's just good to be a part of the kingdom of God and what God is doing. I want to talk to you tonight for a brief moment on this topic of kingdom power. Turn to your neighbor and say, kingdom power. Kingdom power. Now, we are in very pressing times. There's no doubt about that. And with that being the case, it really is important to understand our role. You know, of course, our role and desires, you know, for the kingdom of God is to seek the face of God, to love God, to let God change our heart, touch our mind, you know, and continually go deeper in the things of God. And those are very, very important things, possibly the most important being just pursuing God, pursuing more of Him. And we've talked about that. You all have prayed in that manner and allowing yourself to get rid of yourself, if you will, and your will, and say, Lord, less of me and more of you. Don't ever let that prayer leave you. Don't ever let that be just a one moment's time, but rather a lifestyle. Like Paul said, I die daily. Now, I want to talk to you more so on the understanding of what we do out of these walls. Amen? What we do when we leave, because we realize this is not the church. You are the church. So the Bible says, right, that your body is the temple of the Spirit. And so we know that. And being the temple of the Holy Ghost, we are to be a light. We are to tell everybody and anybody about Jesus Christ. And believe it or not, there are people that want to know about Jesus. How many of you believe that? What I love is that in the book of Matthew chapter 10, as we just read, the Bible said he called unto him his 12 disciples and he gave them something. He gave them power. That lets me know that as Jesus called on his disciples to be disciples and he called on them to go and preach, you'll look in the scriptures afterward. You can look on your own time and you'll see in Matthew chapter 10, he tells them, go preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go tell everybody. Go tell anybody. Go into the highways and the byways. You know, as a brother testified a moment ago, and he said, you know, this is what we've got to do. He was affected by those preaching outside of the building, outside of these four walls, if you will. And so it's important that to understand that you are called just like the disciples, but it's also important to understand that you're not alone. You're not preaching this gospel when you go out and you tell somebody at your job, and it might be mumbled and it might be jumbled and you might not have the eloquency in which to put it all together and say, hey, let me kind of formulate a great message for you. You might just say, hey, you know what? I want to tell you Jesus loves you. And as you begin to tell somebody the power and about the love of Jesus Christ, the power that God has given to the disciples just here on this day in Matthew chapter 10, he said, look, I've given you, I've called you, yes, but I've also given you power. So I want you to understand that you're not preaching and you're not teaching upon your own accord. You don't need to put together the best sermon, or you don't need to know the Greek from the Hebrew and all the way from Genesis to Revelation before you can tell somebody about Jesus Christ. All you have to understand is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if you realize that, just like they were singing, there will be a day that we're going to walk on streets of gold, as we've preached about and talked about. And when you begin to understand the urgency of that, you'll begin to preach the gospel and tell people, listen, you've got to get a hold of Jesus. Even if it's your last thing that you do before you leave this earth, you have got to live for God. If you don't know where to go or what to do,
I'm telling you that Jesus can change your life. And when you begin to open your mouth and tell people about Jesus, it's in that moment that all of a sudden Jesus, just as I've already mentioned, you've done all you can do in the natural. And it's in that moment that God begins to come forth and begin to open up their heart and their mind. The power that he's given to you to go and minister to the world and tell people about his name and his love and his power and what he can do in their lives is eventually what begins to penetrate their heart and what begins to change this world. So you here today are not powerless. You are not just another disciple teaching another message. You see, there are other books in this world. There are other religions in this world. There are other beliefs in this world, those of an Islamic belief, those of Buddhist enlightenment belief, and those of Jainism, Sikhism, Hinduism. And there are thousands of other faiths and religions in the world. And they will come and they will preach to you in the name of their God. And they'll preach with all belief in their eyes and in their heart. And I'm not putting any of those things down or at all whatsoever. But what I am saying is there is a distinction. There is a difference because the words that we have to them would just be some other words. The words that they have, we understand, are just some other words. But when we begin to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, there is a vast difference that when somebody preaches in the name of Allah or Buddha, when someone preaches in the name of Jesus Christ, it could be anybody, but as long as you are a believer in the name of Jesus Christ, that's when the blind eye opens, and that's when the deaf ears unstop, and that's when the dead are raised. Why? Because he has given us power to preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You are not alone today when you tell people in Portland about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They might be messed up or they might be all right. It doesn't matter. As long as you preach the gospel, God will be with you. Does anybody believe what I'm talking about here today? We are an army that has been sent by Almighty God to testify about the power of his goodness, about the goodness of his love. And when you begin to go out into the highways and the byways, I'm telling you, God will move on this city like he has never moved before. Why don't somebody clap your hands and thank God for the privilege to preach his word. And when the disciples preached his word, let me tell you, it was not in vain. When Paul was in the middle of preaching, the Bible said he saw a man that was lame, and he perceived faith in the man in the book of Acts 14. And all of a sudden, he looked over to where he was, and he said, hey, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And all of a sudden, not by the power of Paul, but by the power of Jesus Christ, while he was preaching in the middle of the message, the man that was lame got up and started walking and leaping, and he was instantly healed by the power of Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to tell somebody today, that this book that I'm preaching to you is absolutely different than any other book in the world, and the name of Jesus Christ is absolutely greater than any other name in this world. I don't care what religion you've tried, I don't care what faith you have tried, there is no greater name than the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, why don't you open your mouth and why don't you clap your hands, because it's only in the name of Jesus whereby we will be saved. Hallelujah, Jesus, I give you glory. Hallelujah. It's time for us to tell everybody and anybody. Don't worry about the times you have been rejected. I know that is a fear amongst believers. Well, I've tried before on my job and people don't want to hear about Jesus. Well, tell them again until they want to hear it. Why? Because there will be a day, the day will come where their heart is open, their life is in shambles, and they realize, you know what? I need what they've been talking to me about all this time. I really need that love. I really need that peace. I really need Jesus in my life. And we are indeed not alone. So I really started trying it out myself. before I preached it. And I remember being in Hawaii, and I was there with my father-in-law. And my father-in-law, some of you all know, and he's a great man. I've been so blessed to be around him. And he likes to go thrifting a lot. Anybody here like to go thrifting? Raise your hand, say amen, hallelujah. Oh, more than I thought. All right. We got an avid thrifter. She's got frequent flyer miles at the thrift store down the street. About right? And he you know, likes to go and find things, and he'll actually walk in. He'll say, now, what can't we live without? And he'll just be looking around. And I'm gonna go ahead and stop that there, because I don't want to say anything about all the things that they have. Got a lot of things, a lot of good things. We were one day at this house, and we walked in, and we were both excited about what God was doing at my father-in-law's church there in Hawaii. And we were just so excited, Pastor, we started telling everybody. I mean, they didn't ask us, but they didn't decide to leave, so I figured they wanted to know. You know, that's a key right there, everybody. Understand that, right? I've told you all that before. Know that again. And so we're there, and I'm in the garage. That's kind of an outdoor garage there, and, you know, just kind of a shelter over. And there's a lady and two guys there, and they're kind of helping the owner pack things up out of the house. And I remember, you know, telling them about Jesus. And I say, you know what, let me tell you about this miracle. That's how I started. Hi, my name's Jesse. Let me tell you about a miracle. And I figured, well, they didn't leave, so I might as well tell them. So I told them about a girl got out of a wheelchair in the name of Jesus, and how Jesus healed her body. And at this point, I mean, the lady's got a beer in her hand. I mean, it's about as real as it gets. And she's got the beer in her hand. She's sitting down like this, and I'm telling them as just, you know, with much faith as I can possibly say it. You know, I'm doing everything but preaching with a suit on a Sunday morning. And so I'm preaching, and I'm telling them Jesus can do anything. I mean, I literally saw him bring this woman that was lame. She came up to the altar, and in the name of Jesus, she stood up, and God healed both of her legs right there, right there. She was dancing, and she was shouting, and she was leaping. I mean, she couldn't do that a moment ago, but Jesus got a hold of her. I mean, this is not church, though. You got to understand. We didn't have the good anointed singing and music you all had a moment ago. Yeah, that kind of helps us out, gets us all amped up, right? It's all right? It's okay? And I'm standing there, and she's sitting there with the beer still in her hand. And I say, you know what? Jesus can do anything. What I didn't know is my father-in-law was on the inside, and he was tag-teaming. We were tag-teaming, basically. And he was telling everybody on the inside same stuff I was saying. And so we're testifying. We're just thanking God. And I guess we were just excited about what Jesus was doing. But, you know, that's what happens when you really get close to Jesus. And you get excited, and you just can't help but tell somebody. You notice that the problems you've been dealing with, the closer you get to Jesus, they really don't matter as much. They really don't affect you as much. The more you get to where Jesus is, you're kind of like, well, you know, his power outweighs my fear, so well, might as well keep on moving on. Let me tell you about the power of Jesus. And it's just that much easier for you when you're not wallowing your own situation to tell somebody about Jesus. And so we're there, and I say, you know what? God can do anything. And then I went on like this. Now, I don't really do cards. I don't really pass out cards a whole lot, you know, and because I like to build a connection. Plus, the disciples didn't have cards. Now, I'm not saying don't give cards, but what I'm saying is you all probably already did that, you know. But this is what we used to do when I was a kid. We'd pass out cards. And before you know it, we'd pass out so many cards, and we wouldn't look at anybody. 20 people coming to a service from an outreach, that's amazing. I never saw that in my life. To be completely honest with you, you all got a great system here. Serious. We'd stand in front of Target and we'd pass out cards. Here you go. And we do what we do sometimes. We pull a card out of the pocket. I say, hey, here you go. God bless. Okay. You run away. You don't ask their name. You don't get close to them. Nothing like that. You just try to get rid of the cards. You know, that's what we did. I'm guilty. All right. I've already asked God for forgiveness. And as we're there in that garage and at the outdoor garage, I say, you know what? Jesus can do anything. And I want you all to bring somebody to my father-in-law's church, because I'm telling you that he can heal, he can restore. Bring somebody that's sick, as a matter of fact. Bring somebody that's sick to church. That's about the best thing you can say. They can say, well, I'm Catholic. Well, that's all right. I wasn't worried about that. You're invited. Well, I'm Buddhist. Well, that's great. Are you sick? Come on down. Right? We're here for anybody and everybody. Don't matter. You notice the traditions or where, with the background they come from, all of a sudden there's no excuse there. And you say, well, good. Now, that's the perfect candidate, perfect person. Come on down. We invite you too. We love you as well. And so I said, I want you to bring somebody down to my father-in-law's church and just find somebody that's sick. Bring somebody. God's healing everybody. And I'm all excited about it. And this lady with the beer in her hands, she looked at me. And at this point, I walked over to where the van was and we were getting back. We had bought everything we needed to buy and some. And we got in the van. And I remember that as soon as I put my hand on the van door, she looked at me and she said, well, I'm sick in my body. And she stood up like that. And I said, okay, I did what we do. And I said, well, we're going to pray for you. All right. God bless you. What's your name? Okay. Didn't even remember it in my mind. And I just went over to, okay, yeah, we'll put you on the prayer list. And so I proceeded to get in the van. And then God's like, don't you remember all that stuff you've been talking about and talking about kingdom power and talking about praying for the sick and all that? And God just started talking to me. I'm like, oh, man, all right. I'm just being transparent. Is that okay? Figured it's the last night. I might as well. And so I was like, forget this, man. So I walked away and I said, went over to where she was. And I said, you know what? We'll pray for you right now. I go from 0 to 100 in no time. You all have seen that happen, you know. And so that's just kind of how it works with me. And so when the Lord spoke to me like that, I figured, well, he's not going to tell me to go pray for her and not heal her. He's not going to tell you to go pray for the sick or heal the sick or to go tell somebody about Jesus and not come through. So I walk over and I say, hey, we'll pray for you right now. God will heal your body. She said, all right. She put the beer down, put me to the test, came over to where I was. She said, what do you want me to do? Just like that, as raw as it can be. And I said, I want you to lift up your hands. And I was kind of going in the moment. This was unscripted, you know. And I said, lift up your hands. Where's the pain at? She said, it's in my back. I've had it for a year. I said, God will heal you right now. And so she stood up. Why don't you stand up, my brother? She stood up and she lifted up her hands like that. And I said, in the name of Jesus, everyone's watching. Two other guys with beers in their hand watching what is going on. I said, in the name of Jesus, my father-in-law came and we prayed, laid hands on that lady. The Bible said, let believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, right? And when we laid hands on that lady in the name of Jesus, I said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to be healed right now. All pain, leave your body in Jesus' name. And she started looking around and just as real as day, she started feeling her back, said, wait, hold on. I don't feel any more pain in my back. What's going on? I said, Jesus just healed your body right now in this garage. I'm telling you here today that you are not alone. That you may not know what to say, but I'm telling you, if you trust God, God will come through. All you've got to do is lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you believe that, why don't you clap your hands and why don't you thank God? I believe there's people out there that are waiting for you and waiting for me to tell somebody and tell everybody about his goodness. Go ahead. Why don't you clap your hands one more time? I feel Jesus in this house. I got to tell you the rest. You can go ahead and clap. You can stand. You can sit. You can lay. It doesn't matter to me. I've told you that before. To run the aisles, it's all right. I've had people walk up to me in the middle of service. My dad's a pastor, as I mentioned, y'all, in Los Angeles, and so we get everybody and anybody. So I think that's what I like coming here, you know? It's real. And I remember so clearly as that lady was healed, we're right there in the garage. And I was like, man, this really works. That's pretty cool. Why not, you know? Can you imagine that? Somebody to actually believe the Bible works. And all of a sudden, as we're there and she's healed and she's feeling faith, she looks at me, and this is the honest truth. I'm not stretching this one bit. She looks at me and she says, will you pray that I get $1 million? Real faith. I was like, whew. And so I'm like, okay, well, you'll be the second, you know, contestant of the $1 million prayer after me. Right? I'm still working on that. Lord knows. So we continued on because, I mean, she was serious about it. She was not laughing, very serious. And as I looked over, stopped the whole situation, the whole feel and everything, there was the owner of the house standing about 10 to 15 feet away. she was Jewish. And in the Jewish faith, they don't necessarily believe that Jesus Christ is God, or that he was the Messiah, that he could indeed do miracles in that manner. They believe maybe that he was a great prophet, but they don't believe that he's the lamb, right, that was slain before the foundation of the world, that in his name we must be saved. And so I'm looking. Now, I haven't given her a Bible study. Now, I'm obviously give them Bible studies. We need to do that. But up to this point, I haven't pulled any charts out, a Bible out, nothing. I just prayed for the sick just like the apostles did. And she looks over at us, and this lady, the owner of the house, this Jewish lady, comes on over, and she walks over. She said, wait. She said, I felt that all the way over there. She said, I felt what happened. She walks over to where I'm at, kind of nudges her friend out of the way, says, all right, me next. Hey, that's the way Jesus works. Can I tell somebody, you are not alone? That lady had years of arthritis pain in her back and her hips and her legs. We laid hands on her right there in the name of Jesus Christ, and instantly she was healed by the power of Almighty God. I'm telling you, people of God, that you are more powerful than you think. That you here today have got more power living on the inside than you really think. We've got to tell everybody and anybody that Jesus really does work, that Jesus really does save, that Jesus really does heal. That's the God that you and I serve. That's the God that's here in Portland to save this city. Why don't you clap your hands and magnify the name that is above every name? He can heal every pain. He can heal every sickness. He can cure every disease. That's the God that we serve that's in this room today. One more time, why don't you clap your hands and thank God for that here today, because God has called you and God has given you power greater than the power of your own word, greater than the power that you have within, but rather he's given you power from on high, power to preach and to teach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means the kingdom of heaven is here now. And in heaven there is no sickness. In heaven there is no disease. In heaven there is no cancer. That means that while we are here on this earth, we've got power from on high to go and heal the sick. Hallelujah. We've got it here today. Why don't you clap your hands one more time and thank God. Go ahead, that's all right. Why don't we just thank the Lord? There's a good amount of us that believe it here today. And I want you to turn to your neighbor now. And this is very, very important. I want you to look them in the eye and say, God is going to use you to do it. We're not going to wait for me tonight. We're not going to wait for your pastor tonight. God's going to use you. He's going to use your hands to heal the sick. How many of y'all believe that? He's going to use your word to heal the sick. Peter was unqualified. He would speak whatever came to his head, but he began to speak it in the name of Jesus. God is going to use you here today. He began there at the gate, and Peter and John said to the lame man, rise up and walk. They didn't give him a Bible study. They didn't tell him this or tell him that, but they spoke to him right there and right then at the power of God was real, and that the power of God could heal his body. I don't care what you do in this church, even if it's your first service today. I'm telling you, when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've got the Spirit of God living on the inside. That means you can change the world around you. That means you can heal the sick. That means you can raise the dead. That means you can cast out the devil. Why? Because you've got Jesus living on the inside. Why don't somebody lift up your voice and thank God? I'm telling you, the devil don't have us on the run here today, but we've got authority over the enemy. We've got authority over all the power of the enemy. That's what the Bible says. And if you really believe that, why don't you thank God in your own way for that? Here today, I'm telling you, I'm not going to walk around with my head held low. I'm not going to walk around thinking, wishing maybe that God would come through. But I'm telling you, I'm going to walk in the authority of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because God not only called you, but he also gave you power. He gave you power to walk with authority, to go and heal the sick and speak the word of God. Why don't you clap your hands one more time and thank the Lord. God is going to use your hands. You believe that? And it's going to start tonight. I may pray for one or two of you, but we're not going to wait for me. We're not going to wait for your pastor. We're not going to wait for any of the leadership. You're just going to believe it. And when you feel it, you're going to lay hands on somebody and God's going to do the rest. Is that all right? The Bible never said to go and pray for the sick. Jesus said, go heal the sick. Why? Because he gave you power to go do that. Right? So Peter and John weren't there in front of the lame man. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, would you please raise him up? No. Jesus had already given them power. And they said, hey, to the lame man, get up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. We've got that power living on the inside. You may be seated. I remember being with my grandma and my great grandma, she was 103 years old. She passed away. Great woman of God. And she stood about four feet or so tall. And she was, the older she got, the more she shrunk a little bit. She still could make some mean enchiladas and some good beans and rice. Hey, man, anybody got a great grandma like that or a grandma that can just cook it up? And I don't know if that was the anointing or what going into the beans, but I do thank the Lord for it every day. And I miss it now. You know, she's been gone since about 2018, I believe. And I was very close to her, very grateful for her. She didn't have a whole lot when she left, but she left a legacy, you know, and that was her walk with God. She'd pray three times a day, 103 years old. She'd pray three times a day. And she would read her Bible every day. She'd even fast once a week with diabetes in her body just to draw close to God. Anybody 103 here? Okay. Usually know where I've gone so far. And so there really is no excuse. And so grandma one day said to my mom, she spoke some broken English and said to my mom, I want Jesse to come with me to the hospital. We're going to pray for my neighbor. And so that's what she would do. She'd just go pray for all of her neighbors. And once she had prayed for every neighbor and testified and talked to every neighbor in that home that she lived in, she would then pack up and say, well, I need to move to a different city to go tell them about Jesus. She did it all her life. I mean, till 103 years old, she really wanted to move. She told my mom, I need to move. My mom said, no way, you're not moving. It's not going to happen. And so we kind of, you know, shortstopped that. But on one occasion, I was 17 years old, and I was in my senior year of high school, and she told my mom, I want Jesse to come with me to pray, and we're going to go to the hospital, and we're going to pray. Well, I thought it was my dad. My dad's named Jesse Sr., and, you know, he's a man, a whole lot of faith, and he's a pastor. You know, I figured, man, I'm 17. Who am I? You know, what do you want with me? I'm not a preacher. I'm not a guy filled with faith or anything. I was by no means preaching about faith or doing what I'm doing here today in front of you. Absolutely not. I was in high school, and I told my mom, you know, are you sure she didn't want my dad? And she said, no. She wants you to go. She wants you to go. Trust me. She wants you to go. And so I said, all right, fine. So I picked my grandma up and went over there to the hospital, and I got off the car. And I have to tell you this part of the story because it's just kind of funny. It really has nothing to do with the message. But my grandma was about 103 years old, and she'd, you know, with her cane, walk real slow. And she'd come by like this, and come by like this. And I'd watch her look to the left and then to the right, and she'd kind of span all around her. And when she saw no one was looking, she'd lift up her cane and start doing this. I promise. My wife can testify that is true. It's like, Grandma, I got you. And she'd pick up her cane, and she'd start running real fast, you know. Grandma was just really ambitious like that, you know, just wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, get the gospel. I don't know, wanted to get the gospel to the world, had no time to waste, I guess. And so as we're there in front of the hospital, she walks me in, and I didn't understand what the ICU was. I had no idea that it was an intensive care unit, that most of the people in there were facing some type of potentially fatal situation. I didn't know that. until we were being buzzed in and the doctor was asking us why we're coming in, I realized this was no routine situation that we'd go pray for a headache or for a broken toe or something like that. We were praying so that somebody could live and not die. And so I'm walking in now, and I remember as we walked in, this lady was literally in the respiratory system, and she had a tube in her mouth. I mean, she was in the coma, completely unresponsive, and she's laid out on the bed. And at that point, I mean, like I told you, I go from 0 to 100. I don't know when it started, but at that point I thought, well, you know what, all these preachers have preached about all my life, God can do it, he can heal the sick, he can raise the dead. I want to see that happen. Why not? Why can't I see something like that happen? Aren't I a believer too? And so there I was in a room, my grandma said, just real quiet, and she said, well, let us pray. And she put her hand on the lady's foot, and I went over like my dad. I learned to pray like my dad. I didn't know anything else. I went over, laid hands on that lady's head, and I prayed like we pray. I figured, well, if the doctors kick us out, well, they're going to kick me out after the prayer, so I'm going to pray like I know how to pray. And I lifted up my voice, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come to life. I command this coma to leave your body, and you, your organs begin to work. And so I began to speak life over this woman right there in the room. I was praying and believing she would just get right up out of the bed, and I really hoped she would have, and she didn't. I continued praying, continued believing. About a day or two later, I'm in school and I'm texting under my desk because I was working for the kingdom. I know y'all aren't supposed to be texting while you're at work, but you do anyway, right? How you do it? You do it like this, you know. And it was my mom, so I knew, okay, this is kingdom business. My teacher wouldn't understand. I'm about my father's business. And so I got to text, and my mom said, hey, I want you to understand that your grandma wants you to go talk to her neighbor and tell her about the gospel. Tell her about Jesus. And I said, well, you know, it really just didn't make a lot of sense. And text my mom back, you know. My teacher didn't catch me, thank God. Text my mom back, and I said, well, it don't make any sense because that lady, she's in a coma. How can I talk to her? She's unresponsive. There's no way that she would be able to talk back to me or hear the words I'm saying, and it just wouldn't work. And my mom said, no. She texted me back. She said, your grandma just got a call, and they said that lady just got off the ICU. She's out of the ICU. She got off the respiratory system. She got her own room. She's healed right now, and she's recovering right now. Can I tell somebody today, I was 17 years old, but God decided, hey, if you believe, I'll come through. If you'll lay hands, I'll do the rest. If you believe that I can do it, I'm telling you today here in this place that God will use your hands to heal, that God will use your voice, God will use your witness. Why? Because he has given you power that is greater than the power you've ever known before. Why don't somebody clap your hands and magnify God? If you say, I want to be used like that, I want to walk in authority like that, why don't you clap your hands and stand to your feet all over this place? Why don't you lift your voice unto God? Because God is going to do in this building what only God can do. Go ahead. Now, why don't you clap your hands and thank God for what he's doing already in this house. I see more Peters and more Johns. I see some Pauls here today that are going to preach the word, teach the word. You're going to tell about it in the highways and the byways. You're going to tell about it at your job. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And they'll begin to know, hey, I know that you've got what I want. You've got a hold of something that I need. Why don't you remain standing all over this room or stand with us here today? I'm telling you that God indeed wants to use your hands to heal. Y'all believe that? Is there anybody today that wants to walk in that authority? Anybody here today that this night will be the last night, that this will be the way you are, but rather when you walk out of this place, God will indeed allow the power that's already inside of you, the power of the Holy Ghost, to be activated because you're giving your faith to God. You're giving yourself to God. And when you give your faith to God, say, God, I want you to do what only you can do. That's the moment that God begins to heal. That's the moment that you'll see that lady just like there in Hawaii be healed in the name of Jesus. You might not have the words to say, you might not be the best preacher or the best teacher, but I'm telling you here today, you've got everything you need to go turn this city right side up. You've got everything you need, even in a world like this, to turn this city right side up. with great faith in this room, why don't we do this? I know everybody wants to come, and what we're going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to come. Anybody that wants to walk in this authority, say, I want God to use my hands to heal. I want you to come on down to this altar right now. You don't want to be ordinary Christian. That's who I'm talking to. Everybody, whoever wants, says, I want to be extraordinary in my walk with God. I want to walk like the apostles walk. I want to talk like the apostles talk. And I want to live like they live. I want to be like Jesus, just as he commanded us to be like him. Right now in this room, this is what we're going to do. We're going to lift up our hands, and I feel an authority to be able to impart the gift of faith, and it will be activated in those that desire to walk in that authority. Is that all right? You believe that? You believe God will do it here today? Why don't you go ahead and gather in just a little bit closer? There's others behind you that are trying to gather in a bit closer. And what we're going to do is this. This is most important right now, because you have an opportunity. When I begin to operate like this, and I told you all about some of the beginnings, the first, very first miracle I saw was there with my grandma at 17 years old. And after that, I would hear the voice of God, but wouldn't always listen. Until I got to Bible calls, and I said, God, I want you to do that with me again. And God said, well, I need you to obey my voice. So when I tell you to go pray for somebody, don't be afraid. You can walk up and say, my name is Jesse, and I'd like to pray with you. I'm a believer. Just like that. Real simple, real nice. You don't have to spook nobody out. You can just tell them, I believe that God is calling on me to come pray with you. Would you be all right with that? I believe God can change your life here today. I believe he can touch your mind. He can set you free. And when God begins to tell you that throughout this week and the week to come, and God tells you when you go to your job, it's that friend that you know at your workplace, and you think, man, you know, there's something different. I feel God tugging on my heart to go lay hands on her, lay hands on him. And you walk on over and say, hey, you know what? I was at a service. Holy Ghost service, and the power of God was moving, and I really feel like God wants to change your life today. I feel like God wants to do something that only he can do. If you'll obey that, you'll begin to see the miracles of God happening in your life. Amen? So God is going to do that all over this place. What we're going to do right now is we're going to lift up our hands all over this place, and we're going to shout the name of Jesus this time. Because we shout the name of Jesus, we're going to surrender unto the Lord in that. But as you do that, right after you shout the name of Jesus, you can continue praying if you'd like, and I want you to do that. But when you feel to lay hands on somebody and begin to pray for their situation, begin to command their situation, I want you to do that. Is that all right? Don't hesitate. Think about it. When you feel ready, you feel like, man, I've got faith and God's talking to me right now, you just begin to respond to that. But right now, why don't you lift up your hands? I'm going to speak a word of faith, and we're going to shout the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, this gift of faith is going to be activated in every believer that desires it. Would you lift your voice unto God right now with your own words all over this place? With your own words, we've got power here today. It's power from the kingdom of Almighty God to change this city around us, to change this world around us in the name of Jesus. Here today in the name of Jesus, God indeed is going to use your hands to heal. I believe it. God is going to use your voice. God is going to use your words in the name of Jesus. That's it. All over this room right now, would you just touch heaven with your own words? Would you just touch heaven with your own words right now by the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus Christ? I impart the gift of faith unto every believer that desires in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody, let's shout Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Jesus! That's it. Go ahead. Why don't you continue to pray in the name of Jesus? God's moving right now. When you feel it, go ahead and lay hands on somebody.